Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
Don't get too cocky. You got to follow your instincts and, just don't stop learning. Learning is key.
Best ever listeners, before we get into today's episode, I want to mention Trevor McGregor. Trevor is a real estate results coach. I've been paying him and working with him for years now. He actually is responsible for giving me the idea to do a podcast. So it's not only about transactions that he gives advice on, how to find more deals, how to make more money, but also how to build a holistic plan around your real estate entrepreneurship endeavors. That's what I love about working with Trevor, that and being held accountable for what I say I'm gonna do and actually making sure that I follow through and do it. I feel like I'm a pretty results-oriented, accountable kind of person, but it's always nice to have someone who's there guiding you along the way and giving you strategy as well as psychology tips for how to deal with, you know, the things that come up as a real estate entrepreneur. Trevor has made a wonderful offer for the best ever listeners, and that is that he's offering a free coaching session. Go to coachwithtrevor.com. That's coachwithtrevor.com. Highly recommend him. I've worked with him before. I'm currently working with him right now as my business, as my real estate investing coach. Highly recommend you do the same. Take him up on his offer. Get a free coaching session. coachwithtrevor.com. Best ever listeners, hello, hello. How's it going? Welcome to the best real estate investing advice ever show. I'm Joe Fairless, and this is a show where we cut out all that fluffy stuff. We don't get into it. We only get into the real estate advice that moves your business forward. We've spoken to Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank, Robert Kiyosaki, the author of Rich Dad Poor Dad, Jay Papasan, the co-author of, let's see, lots of books. One of them is right in front of me, The Millionaire Real Estate Agent with Gary Keller of the Keller Williams Group, and many other successful real estate professionals. With us today, we've got Jeremy Sade. How you doing, Jeremy?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well and looking forward to getting to know you and your background. We have a mutual friend together. Actually, my first client, Ben, who closed on a syndicated deal in Richmond, Virginia and raised over $300,000. So Ben introduced us, and I'm looking forward to learning from Jeremy and what he's got going on. A little bit about Jeremy, and then we'll get into it. Jeremy is the president of JCRE Holdings. He is a buy and hold investor where he does the Burr strategy, buy rehab, then rent it, and then refi, and then use that money for another property. He works full time as an underwriter, so he's a part-time real estate investor, but he's been accumulating properties, so pretty soon he'll be a full-time real estate investor. He started 3 years ago and owns 5 properties, and congrats, he just got another one under contract today. He's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and you can say hi to him at jcrealestate.webs.com. Or you just click the link that's in the show notes page. With that being said, Jeremy, you want to give the best ever listeners a little bit more about your background and what you're focused on?
Yeah. So hello, everybody. My name is Jeremy. Based in Philadelphia, as Joe said, I started about 3 years ago. The way I started was I bought my first house. It was a 4-bedroom house, two bathrooms. Lived in one room, and then I rented out the other 3. So my mortgage was about $950, and each room was renting between $500 to $600. So the total rent there was $1,600. So I was making $650 while living there. And I kind of realized how well I was doing. And ever since then, I've just been buying more properties. First 3 properties were all owner-occupied properties. Reason for that is I can get the best rates and terms. And yeah, it's just been going pretty well. And hopefully one day I can be doing it full time.
First 3 properties were all owner occupied. Does that mean that you had to wait 12 months for that to burn off and then go into the next property?
Yep. So pretty much I moved 3 times in the last 3 years. Moving isn't that fun, but for this, it was definitely worth it. So yeah, every 12 months you can get an owner occupied mortgage, and that's what I did.
Are you single?
Yes, I am.
Yep. Okay. Because anytime there's a partner, and you're in your relationship, I always wonder, well, anytime I hear the strategy, I always wonder what the relationship status is of the person, because usually if you are married or with someone, then it gets a little tricky. So it's good that you're doing it now while you're single.
Yeah, you know, that definitely makes it a lot easier, especially for my last rehab. I actually lived in it while doing the renovation, and I doubt any girl would really want to do that, live in the situation I was in. There was no heat, no electricity, no running water. I was pretty much just crashing in one room on a mattress. So being single does help a little bit for this. So, yeah.
With the first house that you bought, you said the mortgage was $950. You had 3 roommates because you had a 4-bedroom renting out the other 3. What was that like living with 3 roommates and having them pay rent? Any cautionary tales, or was it all good stuff?
Really, honestly, wasn't that bad. And they're all Craigslist roommates. So for all my rentals, the best way to market your properties is really through Craigslist. So I found them on Craigslist. And I mean, they're for the area that I'm in, there's a bunch of young professionals, college students, grad students. I'll be 25 tomorrow, actually. So I'm pretty young. I just tried to find roommates that I would mesh well with. Luckily, it went well. No complaints, really.
Now that you've got that house that you're not living in anymore, have you rented out that 4th bedroom and you're making, what, $650 times 4 now?
Yeah, so I...
Was it $2,600?
No, so each room is rented between $500 to $600 a month.
Okay.
So it's 4 bedrooms, and total rent on that property is $2,250. So yes, I did rent my last room out for $600.
How much did you buy it for?
I bought it for $192. That was my first property, and that's the most expensive property I've purchased.
Bought it for $192. How much did you put down?
I put 10% down.
What type of loan program was that?
Conventional mortgage. The interest rate was 3.375, and at the time I was working in the mortgage industry at a bank, so I got the loan through them, which worked out pretty well.
What was the advantage of getting it through the bank that you worked at compared to if you went out and you weren't working at that bank?
I could honestly just micromanage the whole process to see how it was going, if I was going to get approved or not. So it was pretty convenient on that end. And plus, I knew the people I was working with. I knew I could trust them. So, I mean, at the time, I was 22. So I didn't have the experience I have now. So just being at the bank, it was kind of more hand-holding, I guess. So it was definitely an advantage for my first purchase.
Did you save any money by going with your bank versus somewhere else?
I think I did. We got employee pricing, which is a little better. So I think I did save some money.
Employee pricing on the fees or?
On the interest rate. Fees overall, yeah. So with mortgages, you charge points to originate the loan, and I didn't have those points charged to me.
So you were in that for 1 year, right?
Correct, yeah. Okay. So for that property, I moved. It was April 30th, 2013, and I actually found my tenants before that. I was pretty much interviewing them at Starbucks, and they actually moved in the next day, May 1st, 2013. So I closed on my house, and that evening I got a first month's rent, last month's rent, and 1 month security deposit. So that was pretty nice after fronting all the money on the down payment.
Yeah, that is pretty nice. You've got now five properties. You said the first three that you bought were the BRRRR strategy. Were they all the BRRRR strategy? And when I say BRRRR, for the best ever listeners, it's buy, rehab, rent, refi. Were all of them that way?
No. So the first two actually were not. Those were more turnkey. After that, though, I didn't want to do that anymore, and I saw so much more value in the BRRRR strategy, just because you can find discounted properties, rehab it yourself, and you already have that built-in equity. You don't even have to put a down payment, pretty much, once you refi out. So that's what I do now. So the first two were actually not BRRRR strategy.
Let's fast forward to the one that you just put under contract today. What are the numbers on that one?
So that one is a little different. It's a new area in South Philly in Grays Ferry. That one was on the market for $50,000, and I have it under contract for $25,000.
How many offers do you make before finding a property like this that actually goes under contract?
Oh, man, too many. What I do, I just make up so many offers. They're usually really low offers, and they're usually not that realistic. But they work numbers wise, so I mean I would 99% of my offers get declined. I mean this weekend alone I looked at 15 to 20 properties, made offers on at least 12, and this one was good. So yeah.
Are you also a real estate agent?
Yes, as of September of last year I got my real estate license, and there's definitely a big benefit to that. Just because I can schedule all my showings, I can go whenever I want, I don't have to rely on an agent to show me, so it's definitely really, really convenient. Plus, I can save on the commission, so it's nice.
And you're able to search just as much as you want and then make the offers directly without having a go-between.
Yeah, exactly, and you know, I was working with some agents, and sometimes it isn't really worth their time to show me all these properties and then make all these offers. You know, I can tell they get kind of annoyed after a while. So I figured it makes sense, since I want this to be my career, to get my real estate license. So it's been no complaints. I really like it.
$50,000 is what it was listed at on the market. You have it under contract for $25,000. How much is it worth according to your analysis?
Two blocks away, I just saw one for sale, or that sold in December for $90,000. So I'd say conservatively $80,000 or so. But it's there's a lot of new construction. The next neighborhood over in Point Breeze, that area is gentrifying. There's a lot of new developments that are being proposed by the local universities, University of Pennsylvania, the city itself. There's a lot of new development, so. That's why I'm kind of gearing towards that area, because I see some positive growth there for years to come.
And what's the strategy for this one?
So for this one, obviously, since the price point is pretty low, I'm going to Section 8 it. So Section 8 is government-sponsored housing, and that thought process, nothing's guaranteed, but hopefully that's a little more guaranteed rent, and there's two-year leases, so that'll be a nice long-term lease there.
Do you manage these properties yourself?
Yes, I do.
And how are you going to finance it with the price being $25,000?
For a property that I purchased in September, I just got a line of credit against it. So I'm going to use that money for this purchase. And theoretically, in the seller's eyes, it's a cash offer. So when I make my offers with this, I say X amount cash, close in 30 days, no contingencies, and that's how you get the best deals. So that's what I did for this one.
Cash, close in 30 days, no contingencies.
Correct, yeah.
Oh, is there a due diligence period where you get your money back, or is it no contingencies? Hey, is it exactly what you said? And as soon as we put it under contract, I have to buy it.
I mean, no contingencies. I went in it. I did my due diligence that day, and I'll buy it no matter what.
You did the due diligence prior to making the offer?
The only contingency is a free and clear title. So as long as the title is clear, then I'll purchase it. But
and just
not being inspected.
Just so I am understanding the timeline, when did you go into the property to actually look at it? Was it before you made the offer? Because I know you're making tons of offers. Or was it before you signed on the contract?
Yeah, so I went in the property this weekend before I made the offer on Sunday. And then I made the offer that evening and signed all the paperwork yesterday. And the seller actually just signed this afternoon. So it's pretty official. It's official once I give the deposit, which is due in 2 days.
And how much was the deposit on that?
$5,000.
You made 12 offers, at least I think I heard you correctly. That's what I wrote down. You made 12 offers this weekend, right?
Correct.
Did you go to look at all 12 of those properties?
I actually did, yeah.
So you're visiting the properties before you're making the offers. You're not just using numbers based on your research and then making offers.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, I could do that, and I have done that. I just had the time to go see them, and I kind of wanted to see them, so that's why I did that.
What do you typically do? Do you typically visit, then make offers, or since you're making so many offers, do you do the other scenario where you just make offers and visit?
Usually, if I see a deal that makes sense, I will make a verbal offer. You know, I'll just contact the agent and, you know, run it by them to see if it's even realistic so I don't waste my time. But given that this was a new area that I've never touched before, that's why I wanted to see all of them, just to learn more about the area, get a feel for it, to make sure I'm comfortable with it prior to pulling the trigger.
On the line of credit that you got from your other property, did you close on that other property, did I hear that right, in September?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so you closed on it in September, and you're already able to get a line of credit from it. What are the numbers on that other property?
For that property, I bought it in Maniac for $70,000. Closing costs were approximately $4,000, and I put under $8,000 into it. The reason why it was that cheap is I actually did most of the work myself. So I was all in for about $82,000, and just about 2 weeks ago it appraised for $160,000.
Wow, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah,
thanks. Did you find that one on the MLS as well?
Yeah, it was listed for $100,000. I knew it was a great deal for the area, and I wasn't really that serious about it. I mean, I knew it was a great deal, but I just said, I'll give him $70,000. Thinking that, you know, they'd say no because that's unrealistic, but surprisingly they accepted, and then I was like, oh well, I gotta buy it now. So that's how that one happened.
And what type of financing did you said you had closing costs for $4,000 and you put $8,000 into it?
Yeah, so actually for that one I used the property I bought right before that. I just closed on a refi against that one, so I used that money for that purchase, if that makes sense.
Yep, which ties back to the strategy that we talked about at the very beginning, the buy, rehab, rent, and then refi, and then use those proceeds for the next property. Where are you getting this line of credit from?
Community bank. Since my debt to income is pretty much capped for conventional financing, so now I'm looking towards commercial loans. So that's why I went with a small community bank in the area that's familiar with the market. And I got a commercial line of credit or a business line of credit.
What's the community bank's name?
East River Bank.
East River Bank there in Philadelphia. All right. Well, thank you for that. A very detailed approach, and I'll summarize at the very end. But first, what's your best real estate investing advice ever?
Best investing advice ever. definitely stay humble. Never get ahead of yourself, because that's when you can spread yourself out too thin and get into trouble. Don't get too cocky. You got to follow your instincts, and just don't stop learning. Learning is key.
Now, the don't spread yourself too thin part that you just mentioned, some of the best ever listeners might be listening to your story and be like, boy, he is leveraging leverage on top of leverage. what would you say to that?
It is kind of scary. I mean, leverage is risk, but it's a calculated risk. And, you know, as long as I'm taking out debt that the comps are there, my LTV makes sense because the deal is so good, then that reduces a lot of the risk. I'll never buy a deal that I can't sell tomorrow for a profit. So in that scenario, that makes me feel a little better. And plus, you know, I have rents coming in to cover my debt service. Hopefully my tenants pay. I haven't had much of an issue there, which I'm pretty fortunate for. So
what's your interest rate on the line of credit?
The line of credit it's prime plus 2. So right now the prime rate is 3.5. So it would be 5.5.
You ready for the best ever lightning round?
I am.
All right. First, a quick word from our best ever partners.
Did you achieve all your real estate goals in 2015? Well, if you did, congratulations. Fist bump to you. If you didn't, then go to coachwithtrevor.com. Trevor McGregor is my business coach, my real estate coach. He's also been a guest on the show, episode 320. He is offering a free coaching session for the best ever listeners. Just go to coachwithtrevor.com and it'll help you to achieve your real estate goals in 2016.
Best ever book you've read?
Best ever book. The One Thing by Gary Keller.
There you go. Giving a shout out to Gary Keller and Jay Papasan again. Jay, for best ever listeners, if you want to listen to Jay's episode, I will Google that right now. Jay Papasan, Joe Fairless, and it is episode number 212. Best ever personal growth experience, and what'd you learn from it?
Best ever personal growth experience. I would say about 4 years ago, I got sick with some stomach thing. I was in and out of the hospital for like 7 months. And while doing that, while sick, I was swimming in college. I was a full-time student and I was doing an internship. So I was taking 18 credits or so. So I was pretty overloaded while being sick and not being too great. But the one thing that I did was I never gave up. And that relates to my real estate business, where times are going to be tough. You know, it doesn't matter if you're doing great now, but, you know, you're gonna go through something where it's not going to be that great. You know, you might have to evict a tenant. You know, you might do a shitty deal, but key is never to give up. And, you know, regardless of how bad it is right now, there's always the light across the tunnel. More of a positive approach than anything.
Best ever deal you've done?
Best ever deal. Either the one I just told you, or the I did one last year. Bought a triplex, gutted the whole thing, bought it for 110, put 50 in. That was the one I lived in while rehabbing, and then closing costs were 8,000. So it was all in for 168. It appraised for 250, and then I got a conventional loan against it for 75%, which was 187,500. So I pretty much got paid about $20,000 to buy the house and have 25% equity. Now I live in one unit and rent out the other two. Mortgage is about $1,250 or $1,300. Mortgage, taxes, and insurance are $1,300. And my rents for the other two units are $800 apiece, which is $1,600. So I'm making a little bit of money while living there, which is pretty nice. So I'd say that's a pretty good deal.
That's awesome. Best ever way you like to give back?
For real estate, I'm always interested in speaking to anyone about real estate. I get tons of questions, you know, how do you do this? I'm asking for advice. So I'm always looking to give back and help people, achieve their goals to own a property, rehab something. So I'm always looking to help people out.
What's the biggest mistake you've made in real estate?
It's funny you say that, because I'm actually fixing it right now.
Okay.
So for the property I told you that I lived in, that was my first major rehab. Money was a little tight, given, you know, especially that you saw that I lived in it, so I had to save every dime. So I I hired a really, really, really cheap plumber. He put together my bathroom for $500, which is really cheap. But you get what you pay for. So I'm never go with the cheapest contractor, plumber, electrician out there. You'll get what you pay for, and it's always best to spend a little more up front for it to be done right, be done once, so you never have to deal with it again.
What specifically wasn't done right, and how much is it costing you now?
Now, the plumber has been here the last 2 days, and this is literally 10 months later that the work was done. It's been an ongoing issue since the summer, since the tenants moved in. The whole shower wasn't put together properly, so it's been leaking. So it's the shower on the third floor leaking to the second floor, which is pissing the tenant on the second floor off. This is my third or fourth plumber since then, and I just haven't had luck with plumbers. I don't know. It's just something with the pipes. I'm not a plumber myself, but I'm I guess the shower is, it's like the whole floor underneath is not really stable, and I don't know, the pipes are all messed up. So hopefully this is fixed once and for all.
How much does it cost?
Well, this time around it's costing $800.
And factoring in the other plumbers besides the first one.
Oh, that's without them. Overall, I would say at least $1,500.
Well, best ever listeners, if you know of a good plumber in Philadelphia, then whenever Jeremy gives out is the best way to get in contact and let him know of a good plumber. Sounds like he needs one. On that note, what's the best ever place the best ever listeners can reach you?
You can always email me. JeremyShawDet04@gmail.com. If you can't spell my last name, hopefully it's in the show notes. Chaudet.
It is in the show notes. And thank you so much, Jeremy, for sharing your journey, your quick start journey with us on the show, and how you've used the buy, rehab, rent, refi strategy to your advantage and been able to get to 5 properties in a short amount of time, 3 years. And you're got your sixth one under contract right now. The story of just how you got going with the 4-bedroom house and 2 baths, you're renting out the other 3, and as we speak now, it's bringing in $2,250, and the mortgage on it's $950. And that's a very similar model to what you've done with the other ones in terms of numbers. And you mentioned something in passing that I wrote down and I loved. You said, never buy a deal that you can't sell tomorrow for a profit. I love that sentence, and it's bolded in my notes because that's something that is a quote that we should all kind of internalize and take to heart. Thanks so much for being on the show, sharing your advice with Best Ever listeners. Have a best ever day. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Did you achieve all your real estate goals in 2015? Well, if you did, congratulations. Fist bump to you. If you didn't, then go to coachwithtrevor.com. Trevor McGregor is my business coach, my real estate coach. He's also been a guest on the show, episode 320. He is offering a free coaching session for the best ever listeners. Just go to coachwithtrevor.com and it'll help you to achieve your real estate goals in 2016.